For scripture reading today, please turn to Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 20, and chapter 2, 13 to 17. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. He went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as he reclined at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the word of God.
Can see myself. And it's true. One student told me this week that I have a receding hairline. Okay, now I can see. Hello, everybody. My name is Wen Tong, one of the pastors here at Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. I'll be sharing with us God's word this morning. Before we begin, let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that your word is faithful and is true. We thank you, Lord, that so many years ago you called your disciples. And that same call is extended to us even today. Open our hearts, soften our ears, that Lord, we may listen to your word this morning and respond accordingly. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have no slides today. That's why you're seeing my face. Yeah. So this week, actually just a few days ago, I texted Bi Hun and asked her how she selects persons for a job. Because she is a human resource director. I asked her, what does she look out for in a candidate when choosing somebody? So for those of you who are looking for a job, here are some tips from a HR director. Firstly, when hiring, she will always consider if this person's skill set match the job description. And if so, how much experience or competency this person has to get the job done. Okay, this one's quite obvious, But for important roles, they are looking for people with leadership, people with a vision, somebody who can be empathetic and can be agents of change in a company. Sounds almost impossible to find this person. And ultimately, Bi Hun's best word of encouragement to all of you, if you are looking for a job, is simply just to be honest and to be sincere. So when looking for a candidate, especially an important role, we want to be sure that we will find somebody with an impressive credential, skillful at his craft, And not a special, not somebody with a criminal record or even a black mark. Interestingly, Jesus does not select his disciples according to the criteria of a typical HR would. I mean, his mission is of utmost importance. It is the salvation of the whole of humanity. And you would think that Jesus would select from the cream of the crop, the elite that went to prestigious schools, or politicians that could use their influence to broadcast the gospel. Surely it matters a great deal who God chooses for this important task. But no, in the Gospel of Mark, Mark tells us that Jesus begins by calling ordinary fishermen to join him in his mission. Fishermen, they were the middle-class folk of their time. Jesus was intentional. The text tells us that while he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, and that's where Jesus saw Simon and Andrew, followed by James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Fishermen were common folk. They were like our hawker uncle who sells kopi, or the Singtel personnel that helps you do your recontract on your mobile phone, or even the NTUC counter auntie that helps you bag your groceries. Fisherman is equivalent to a normal blue-collar job worker of our time. But for them, it was more than a job. Being a fisherman for these men was their way of life, their identity, and their trade when they were taught as they were growing up. If your father was a tradesman, you'd be a tradesman. If your father was a carpenter, you'll be brought up with the skill of carpentry. And so is it with fishing. And the mention of Zebedee on the boat with the father of James and John is evidence that being fishermen to these men were all they ever knew their whole lives. So when Jesus called them to follow him, we have a better understanding of how much they were leaving behind in order to follow Jesus. They were leaving behind their livelihood, their income, their family tradition, and for James and John, quite literally, their father as well. But why? Why did they leave their lifelong career in pursuit of the unknown? You see, Jesus was a rabbi, which in Hebrew means teacher. In the time of Jesus, religious leaders like Pharisees and scribes were considered educated and prolific. They were highly regarded in society, and even when you see one teacher walk across the street, it is common for people to greet them and bow in reverence because of their high status. And like the fishermen, tradesmen, and craftsmen, you most likely had to be born into this trade as well, perhaps an educated family or a well-to-do family that could afford a teacher like that. So for them, learning under a rabbi would be a prestigious opportunity for one who can afford or have earned that spot. It's like us today being accepted in NUS Yale or Harvard. It's an honor. It's a golden opportunity. So when these fishermen saw the opportunity to study under Jesus, a respected rabbi, they left behind their old way of life. It is important to note that in Jesus' time, perhaps also even in our time, it was the student who would apply for the school, or in this case, teacher. And it was entirely up to the school or this teacher's prerogative to accept their students. But here, Jesus is the one calling his students. So it is my personal belief that Jesus intentionally chose common folk of a fisherman to be his disciples, so that when his kingdom is established, men cannot boast that it is by their own strength that the kingdom is built. For our Lord chose the lowly, the ordinary, to establish his kingdom. So, if Jesus chose ordinary fishermen and transform them into extraordinary men for his mission, do you believe that God chose you in all your ordinariness to partner with him to establish his kingdom? Your day-to-day work, the full-time stay-home mom or dad, the school teacher, the small business owner, do you believe that God wants to choose you to partner with him in ministry? God is not looking for the high flyer with impressive credentials. He looks for the ordinary in you and in me. And this way, no one of us can boast that this was us that caused the kingdom to be good or to be built. God and God alone gets all the glory. The society that we live in today often celebrates those who are on the top. The outstanding employee, the successful career, the top-scoring student. So, when we are not as impressive as the world perceives, we tend to believe that God might not want to use someone like me or like us for ministry. Let those who are good, let them go. They are the ones that God can use. I don't want to be a burden. But if Jesus calls ordinary fishermen to be his followers, you can be certain that your resume is the exact kind that Jesus is looking for. Jesus called a tax collector by the Sea of Galilee as well, in Mark chapter 2. Similarly, like the fisherman, Mark just tells us that Levi, who's the name of this tax collector, rose and followed Jesus, leaving his booth behind. Though the text doesn't tell us much, understanding the historical context in Mark will help us better appreciate Jesus calling a tax collector like Levi. So, for example, to the Jews, tax collectors are seen as traitors as they work for their Roman occupants. In Jesus' time, Rome was the superpower of the ancient world. Roman tax was something every Jew would have dreaded and hated to give. And if it were not bad enough that Rome was collecting tax from the Jewish people, they hired a Jewish tax collector to do their Roman bidding. And to make matters worse, it is well known that tax collectors were often greedy and collected more than what is required in the name of their Roman overlords to make a personal profit. And that is why tax collectors in Jesus' time were outcast and ostracized in their own Jewish communities. But this is also why tax collectors were rich, because the many years of robbing their own people and working for the Roman enemy has made Levi rich and comfortable. And yet, when Jesus called him, Levi rose and followed Jesus. So even though Levi was leading a sinful life, Jesus broke the cultural norm and called Levi to be one of his disciples. So if from the fishermen, we learn that Jesus called the ordinary middle-class folk, from Levi, the tax collector, we can learn that Jesus calls us to leave our old sinful lives in order to follow him. By this, I mean a certain lifestyle, perhaps, or a certain job that you have that is ethically questionable. One that perhaps provides extra income. And like Levi's lifestyle choice, perhaps this way of living or this job brings a lot of shame that comes and causes you to live a sinful life. And I think sometimes even for us becoming Christian, we are still trapped in that shame of our past that we dare not allow God to use us for ministry. And perhaps for some of you, it may not necessarily be a sinful job or a lifestyle, but your job or your way of living has definitely hindered you from serving God and giving your time up to serve other people. Perhaps staying up late on Saturdays that affected you on Sunday as you come to church and you cannot even concentrate during service. Or maybe for some of you, Sunday is a prime time for work, and as a result, you don't get your regular rhythm of worship every Sunday, and it disrupts you, let alone serve people during the Sunday. For you, serving would literally lose you money. Or perhaps even some of you are in a relationship that would hinder, or I would say distract you from proper worship of God and ministry. May I encourage you to talk to your CG leader or a trusted Christian about your situation. I remember that when I was a youth and I was looking to earn some extra income, and while I may not have been working on Sunday mornings, I worked till late on Saturday nights and even went out with friends till all the way to the wee hours of the night, rendering me too tired to even stay awake during service. Plus this aircon, I just come here and fall asleep. But if not for the counsel of my leaders and good friends, I would not have realized that it has hindered my following of Jesus. So church, as we reflect on the fisherman and even the tax collector, is there something that the Lord might be calling you this morning to leave behind in order for you to follow him? From these five men that Jesus called to be his disciples, we learn that he calls ordinary folk like you and me, and he even includes sinful people for his ministry. But of course, we cannot remain in our old sinful lives. We are to leave that behind in order to follow Jesus. These are the people that our Lord Jesus calls to join him in ministry. But what exactly do we do when we join the ministry? And what does Jesus call us to do? What does he want us to do when we actually start to follow him? And this is where we will try to unpack the term fishers of men. And this is a very loaded term because on the surface, it seems like just a sales pun that Jesus was making to make them feel like fishermen, to become fishers of men. Just add one off, wow, like a very big difference. But instead of fishing for fish, like what Caleb just now taught us, they will now learn what it means to fish for men. It is interesting to know that in the Old Testament, the fishing metaphor that is used by Jesus here is used to pronounce God's divine judgment. Prophets like Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 16, says, "Behold, I am sending for many fishers, declares the Lord, and they shall catch them, and afterward I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain, every hill, and out of the cleft of the rocks." And even in prophet Ezekiel, in chapter 17, he says, "Thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely it is my oath that he despised, and my covenant that he broke, and I will return it upon his head. I will spread my net over him, and he shall be taken in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon and enter into judgment with him, therefore the treachery he has committed against me." Both Jeremiah and Ezekiel uses the metaphor of a fisherman, but the fisherman here is God. God is the one describing himself as the fisher who is going out to fish for men. In particular, sinful men, people who have rebelled against God or have wronged him. And it is also important to notice that the term fisher of men in the Old Testament are usually used in a negative sense, often to pronounce God's divine judgment over sinners. So it's not a positive term to be called a fisher of men, when you hear the term fisher of men. So, when Jesus extends his call to the fishermen to be fishers of men, Jesus here is the main fisher of men because his ministry is preaching and telling the people to repent from their sin. But now, he invites his disciples to learn how to bring sinners the good news of the gospel in light of God's impending judgment. So I repeat, Jesus is the main fisher of men, and when we follow him, we become like him, a fisher of men. As he is the teacher and we are the student, we join in his trade and bring the good news to sinners that they can repent. And I think whatever ministry that we are serving in, this is one of the best definitions I have for all of us as Christians. That no matter what ministry we serve, we are all called to do fishing, to fish for men. Because our Lord is concerned about fishing for men. When the early disciples answered the call, they knew that was what they were called to do, to fish for men. And now even when we serve in ministry, that's also what we are called to do. We join in the Christian tradition of fishing of men. Granted, not all of us here will be standing in front of a pulpit and able to preach. But when we serve in the ministry, or when we say yes to follow Jesus, do we understand that this is the very nature of what it means to follow Jesus? That we, each and every one of us here, are to bring others into a loving relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. From Mark chapter 2, after Jesus calls Levi, and Levi follows Jesus, we see the first thing that Levi does. And I think this is something we can learn in his response. Levi held a banquet dinner for Jesus and invited the only people that will come for this dinner, fellow tax collectors and sinners. Levi provided hospitality. And that provided a platform for his fellow sinners and tax collectors, an opportunity to have a meal with Jesus. So here Levi offers us an example on how we can help in being fishers of men. Though Levi himself was not a fisherman, he used his resources, opened his home, and hosted a dinner that helped others come to Jesus. So, if we are not called to the public ministry of preaching or teaching, the next thing that we can do to follow Jesus is to open our homes for others so that they can encounter Jesus. Hosting CG, which is cell group, inviting newcomers to your home for a meal, connecting your colleagues, your classmates, and your family members with fellow Christians. These are ways that we can help them experience Jesus through Christian love and hospitality. I recall when I was a young boy, I think the first time was sec 2, when I entered church, so it's been around 1 year since I've been in church, and at that time, I'm still not in the worship ministry. In fact, I'm not serving anywhere in church. But yet, I was invited to Elder Danny and Auntie Michelle's house. For those of you who know, when you go to their house, means there'll be a lot of food. So these are the people who went to their house before. So at sec 2, like the sec 1 boy there, who just came to church, I went to this person's house, but when I opened the door, wow, it's like a hotel buffet. You know, the table is all filled with food. And that made me feel so much love. And I think before I experienced Jesus personally, I first experienced the love and hospitality from the Christians who opened up their homes and invite sinners like me to be part of. So though Auntie Michelle's food is not the reason why I became a Christian, but in her love and hospitality, she created a space for me to feel the love and that Christ came to give. I thought at this point I'd like to share that some of our young couples that I know, at least people who are getting married or choosing their homes, I know it is not said, but this is something that is a given for most young people, that when they look for a new home, an important consideration for them is whether or not their home can host cell group on Fridays or for some of your Saturday. They will consider the location, whether is it near the MRT, so that their CG members can go their way, can go to their homes without too much of a hassle. Practicing Christian hospitality is very much of the nature of the ministry that Jesus calls us to do. In the Bible reading this morning, there is this scene towards the end of what we have read, where the scribes of the Pharisees saw that Jesus was eating with tax collectors and sinners. And they were appalled at why this reputable rabbi would associate himself with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus then, who overhears this, replies them. He says, yet another metaphor, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Here our Lord describes his mission with yet another metaphor, this time a medical one. He's saying that he's eating with sinners exactly because these are the people whose needs he can meet, that he's there to heal them as the great physician. And I think this is also something that's very important for us as we consider ministry. That we are to associate with sinners. Jesus, as a teacher, was doing more than just informing his disciples about how to become fishers of men. He was modeling for them what it means to follow and who he chooses to spend his time with. And it's definitely not for the righteous, but for sinners that he came to heal. When I first got my job, I think it was the first month, then Auntie Gyoha passed me my box of name cards. I immediately realized that on my job title, there's the term associate preacher. At first, I thought it was just a more prestigious way to describe a preacher. Wow, put one associate in front. No. Then I went to Google what it meant. Then I realized, oh no, associate actually is a more junior position, not a more senior position. So, associate preacher Li Wenchong is not a senior preacher, but a lowly preacher. But now, as I consider Mark chapter 2, the preachers of preachers, the Son of God himself, that he was too an associate preacher, but not because he's in any way junior or lowly, but because he chooses to associate with those who are low. He intentionally associates with the sinful, the lowly, so that he can preach to them. Bear in mind, Jesus doesn't join them in their sin or becomes a tax collector. That's not what the text means. But he associates with them in order to heal them. So as we reflect on how we have followed Jesus, let us consider if we have intentionally associated with the tax collectors and sinners of our time. Are we out there fishing for men for Jesus? Or are we mostly huddling with fellow fishermen? God wants to use you to reach out to people only you can reach, because your work pass, only you can go into that building. People that you have access into their lives. Sinners who are lost without Jesus. Yes, there is value in regular fellowship and as we come together and huddle and encourage one another during CG and during Sundays. But this is also what we come to do so that we can empower each other to go out and fish for men. So that we can go out and invite sinners to meet Jesus. In my final point, I'd like to share with you the extraordinary testimony of the ordinary people who answered God's call And to show you with their transformed lives, how God used them so mightily for his kingdom. In so doing, we can be sure that it is not human giftedness or our skill set that God's extraordinary kingdom was established. The first person is Simon Peter. So from the first day Simon met Jesus while fishing on his boat, Jesus called Simon and he dropped his nets and followed Jesus. We are told that Jesus after that named him Peter, which means rock. And Jesus continues to say in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, that on this rock I will build my church, which means that Peter will be a key figure in the church that Jesus came to establish. Despite Peter's failure, if you have read the Gospels, when he denied Jesus three times when Jesus was arrested, Jesus reinstated him and gave him the charge to love his sheep and to tend his flock. This can be found in John chapter 21. And Peter did it. After the death and resurrection of Jesus, Peter was transformed. And he delivered a heart-piercing sermon, asking his listeners to repent and to be baptized. If you read the account in Acts chapter 2, that after that sermon, 3,000 people came to the Lord and were baptized. Peter, like his rabbi Jesus, preached and healed in different cities. Once, Peter even raised a little girl from the dead. This can be found in Acts chapter 9. God used Peter to bridge the gap between the Jews and the Gentiles as well. If you read in Acts chapter 10, that's where Peter baptized Cornelius, the first Gentile Christian. And that set a lot of tension between the Jews and the Gentiles, which eventually, in 64 AD, led to Peter's persecution and death in Rome by Emperor Nero. Today, the Catholic Church regards Peter as the first pope of the Catholic Church. And at the heart of Vatican City, which is in Rome, stands St. Peter's Basilica, which is a very, very, very big monument that you can go there and see. And that's the office of every pope, and where people from all around the world travel to visit to see Christian monuments. From an ordinary fisherman, Peter is now known all around the world for being the rock of Jesus' church, the first pope of the Catholic Church, all because he chose to follow Jesus. Next, we have Levi, the tax collector that left his booth near the Sea of Galilee. What we are told after that is he went on to host a dinner banquet for fellow tax collectors and sinners. And in Mark chapter 3, when you see the names of all 12 disciples, you will realize that Levi is not on that list. But there was a tax collector in their midst. So if you go to Matthew's account, you will see in the Gospel of Matthew, when he lists the 12 disciples in Matthew chapter 10, he says this, Matthew, the tax collector. So we actually know Levi by his more popular name, Matthew. And though little is mentioned about Matthew in the Gospel and even in the book of Acts, when they were replacing Judas with another man named Matthias, it is believed by legend that Matthew preached to the Jews. Many different accounts put Matthew in either Palestine or even as far away as Ethiopia. But his greatest evangelistic work that is causing sinners to come to Jesus is his personal eyewitness account of Jesus recorded in the book of Matthew. It is this meticulous and skillfully compiled article that contains the teachings and the works of Jesus Christ. Matthew's training in accountancy and record keeping was put to good use when he wrote the Gospel of Matthew. And today, churches all around the world refer to his work to have a better understanding of Jesus. So, from a sinful, ostracized tax collector, Matthew's account of Jesus is now bringing sinners from all around the world to experience Jesus for themselves. And all because he chose to leave his booth behind. Do you believe that God can use your ordinary life to have such an extraordinary impact all around the world? It can be quite unthinkable, right? To consider how God can use us in this magnitude. But I must remind us that the reason Peter and Matthew have become extraordinary is not because they were by nature talented or outstanding individuals that God selected in the first place. Rather, it was their sheer obedience and repentance to their old way of living that God transformed them to lead such extraordinary lives. I know of a church member who studied in CHIJ when she was in secondary school. Before she met Christ, all she can think about was herself when I asked her. When I asked her how she would describe herself before she met Christ, she said this: everything revolved around me. But at Sec 3, during a mission trip, she encountered Jesus and decided to take her faith seriously. As she grew in a Christian faith and studied the scriptures, she was constantly moved by God's love for the vulnerable and the lost. And this influenced her to choose a career in the healthcare industry as an occupational therapist. And now she feels closest to God when she's serving the marginalized and the vulnerable. And in fact, this is how our brother Yang Ping came to know about our church and even got baptized here at AMKPC. As a young mother, the Lord led her and her husband to foster another young little girl into her home because of the passage in Matthew chapter 25 that calls for believers to feed the hungry, to clothe the needy, and to take care of the sick. She was just an ordinary student passing by CHIJ, but the Lord transformed her by giving her compassion for the marginalized and the vulnerable. Through her, many marginalized and vulnerable people have an opportunity to experience Jesus because of her. So, church, perhaps let us recount in our own lives so far. Before we met Christ, the day we chose to follow Jesus, and how we were transformed to become fishers of men. This application can also be found in Mark chapter 2, the session 2 in the Mark Bible Study series. And perhaps as we take time to consider these three aspects before Christ, how we met Christ, and how he has used us, let us write it down so that we can share in our CG session. But for those of you who might have difficulty with the last aspect about being fishers of men, and as you look, I have not really been fishing for men, do not be discouraged. Perhaps today's sermon has moved you to want to lead a life that is worthy of the gospel. Perhaps for you, you can consider what is Jesus calling you to leave behind. A career opportunity, a certain lifestyle or habit, or even a person. Has the Lord convicted you an area in your life to leave behind today? The same call that Jesus extends to his ordinary and sinful disciples is the same call that he gives to us today. He calls us by name and he calls us to follow him. Will you leave your old life behind in exchange for the extraordinary one that he has prepared for you? Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Thank you for the wonderful privilege of calling us to follow you. Sorry that we are by nature sinful and often choose only what's best for ourselves. Please show us that we ought to leave behind in order to follow you. Take our lives and make it yours Transform us to become like your Son, Jesus, that men might be coming to Jesus. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Wen Tong, for sharing God's word with us. Church, let us respond to God's word by singing the next song, our song of response, Lord, I offer my life to Him. Let's rise. As we sing this song, let this be our prayer to our Lord.
Let's sing this again.
All that I have.
want to offer our lives to you. Help us to be fishers of men, to follow you, to reach out to others around us, our family members, our friends, so that they too may know the joy of your salvation. Thank you, Jesus. All this we pray in your most precious name. Amen.